Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
I'll pick up in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, and it says this: "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sex morality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And then verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And of course, today we're talking about faithfulness. We're talking about faithfulness. And as I was, of course, thinking, praying, asking the Lord for direction, and I know that for the first few sermons, we didn't read this whole passage starting in verse 19, but I just want to remind us of a couple of things, and one is this: is the person that is rooted and grounded in Jesus acts one way. And the person that is controlled by the flesh and the sinful nature acts another way. And the difference between the one grounded in Christ acts and the one that is being controlled by that sinful nature acts, it is obvious. That's what Scripture's telling us here. It is obvious those who are living their life for the Lord and those who are being controlled by that sinful nature. And so it's easy for us to look at ourselves and take stock of ourselves, and even just on a practical note, to look at this list and really ask God to search our heart. We read in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15, it says this: "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Listen to this, verse 16: "You'll recognize them by their fruits." And it's just not the false teachers that this goes for, but this is what I know, this is the context of Scripture. But it says, you'll know them by their fruits. "And are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears what? It bears good fruit. But the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus you'll recognize them by their fruit." It says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33, make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. And of course, Jesus, he gets pretty rough here with the religious. "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of evil treasure brings forth evil." It is obvious. I know we live in this culture in this time about, you know, don't judge me, bro. I mean, that's the way a lot of people want to perceive things. But I'm going to tell you, if somebody is living life for the Lord, you're going to know. If somebody's living their life according to sinful nature, it's going to be obvious. And that's exactly the word that Scripture uses. And so as we recognize fruit of the follower of Jesus, this fruit of the Spirit, there are good roots, as we read in both Matthew 7, Matthew 12. If there's good roots, there's good trees, and there's good fruit. The fruit of my life is the evidence of the condition of my heart. I'm going to say that again. The fruit of my life is the evidence of the condition of my heart. I mean, and we read in Galatians 5:22, it says something I think very specifically, and I think it's there for a reason. But you see these three words in the first part of Matthew 5:22, but the fruit. It doesn't say but the fruits. It says but the fruit. And I know that this may be mind-boggling. You know, I don't know if you can keep up with me right now, but, you know, apple trees produce apples. As you know that. Orange trees produces oranges. And lemon trees, lemons. But when we have the good root that we're the vine tapping the branches, that we're sharing, we're showing that fruit, it's like, it's all the characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. There's not separate trees. It's all one tree. And so, as evident as is, when we live according to the flesh about the sinful nature, if we are living according, rooted and grounded in Christ, then we're going to bear with us all the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. The fruit we bear is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. I mean, all of these things. And so, as I think we're getting this morning to faithfulness, and I'll tell you what I was reminded of when I was thinking about faithfulness was Horton. Do you know who Horton is? Horton, the character from Dr. Seuss. It's academic reading, man. But I'm going to read you some of about Horton sitting on the nest. Anybody remember that story? So Horton kept sitting there. What happened was he came across a bird, and he asked Horton to sit on the nest and to hatch the eggs, and the bird flew away and never came back. And so we're kind of picking up in the middle of the book, but it's going to illustrate what we're talking about this morning. So Horton kept sitting there day after day, and soon it was autumn. The leaves blew away, and then came winter. The snow and the sleet and the icicles hung from his trunk and feet. But Horton kept sitting and said with a sneeze, "I'll stay on this egg, and I won't let it freeze. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant." An elephant's faithful, 100%. So poor Horton sat there the whole winter through, and then came springtime with troubles anew. His friends gathered round. They shouted with glee, "Look, Horton, the elephant's up in a tree." They taunted. They teased him. They yelled, "How absurd. Oh, Horton, the elephant thinks he's a bird." They laughed and they laughed and they all ran away. And Horton was lonely and wanted to play, but he sat on the egg and continued to say, "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant." An elephant's faithful, 100%. No matter what happens, this egg must be tended. But poor Horton's troubles were far, far from ended. For while Horton sat there so faithful, so kind, three hunters came up sneaking from behind, up softly behind. Did he run? He did not. Horton stayed on that nest. He held his head high, and he threw out his chest, and he looked at the hunters as much as to say, "Shoot if you must, but I won't run away. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant." An elephant's faithful, 100%. If there is not a message in that, I don't know what is. And if you're curious about how it ends, you can get the book and read it. Faithfulness is with as the fruit of the Spirit. It originates with the Spirit of God. And it's the same with all the Spirit. And there's many things we could draw examples out, but we've talked about love, for God so loved the world. We've talked about joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We've talked about peace. Now the God of peace be with you all. All these are different promises. Patience. But God is patient toward us. Kindness, his kindness is new every morning. Goodness, God abounds and goodness. And then we get to faithfulness. And one of the scriptures about faithfulness is 2 Timothy 2:13. I've held on this scripture for a long, long time, because when I first came to the Lord and I was working out my salvation, that those first walks, and I failed a lot. And I came across 2 Timothy 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Isn't that a powerful promise? And so as I'm thinking about faithfulness, I think the best illustration, the best account to look at is in Matthew chapter 25. And I'm not going to go take all the time to read it verse by verse, but in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14, we read an account. Jesus is giving a parable, and he's talking about three different men. And these three different men were all given talents. To one man was given five talents, to one man was given two talents, and to one man was given one talent. And if you pick up after in verse, I do kind of want to pick up in verse 19, and it says, "Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered me the five talents. Here I've made five talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Verse 22, "And he also had, the one who had two talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered me two talents here, and I've made two talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' Verse 24, he also went to the one who had received one talent, came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' And the master answers, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not.'" And I want to point out this very quickly. You notice he's just repeating what the servant with one talent said. Verse 28, "So take the talent that he hid, give it to him who has ten. For everyone who has will be given more and will have an abundance, but the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away and cast in the worthless servant and the outer darkness, and that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That term talent was first used to signify a weight. It was to signify about 75 pounds. And then see, through Scripture, we see it transition to talking about money. The five talents that the man received represented in our time about $12,000. And so if that helps kind of your mind wrap around this thing. But in this parable, it also means so much more than money. It is not by accident that it says talents. A talent represents our abilities, our time, our resources, our opportunities to serve God while we're on earth. And that simply is the account of what this parable means, that we have all been given gifts, we've all been given talents, that we are to invest for use in the kingdom of God. All of these things God has entrusted to us, he expects us to invest in the harvest field. And when I was thinking about this, I thought, what's some things that signify faithfulness? Number one is this: faithfulness follows Jesus' example. Faithfulness follows Jesus' example. Faithful people are humble. Faithful people are a meek people. They don't demand attention or recognition for just serving God. Faithful people do right even when others do wrong. I'm going to say that again. Faithful people do what is right even though others do what is wrong. Faithful people are dependable. Faithful people bring healing and not conflict. And I kind of wanted to stop right there just for a second. Because I was thinking about that, I thought of an illustration that I want to show you. It's been a while since I've done an illustration. So here we have what is this? With the nozzle from the devil. Have you had to deal with that nozzle yet right there with this green? This is terrible. Sometimes engineers just leave stuff alone. Anyway, and then what is this? Anybody know what this stands for? Water, right? And so faithful people bring healing, not conflict. And what happens so many times in relationships and life and whether it be the workplace or home, is you can be one of two people. You can be somebody that when a situation happens, you can be the one that's going to throw the gas on the fire. Right? You can be. I have some rules I live by as a pastor, and I'm grateful for a pastor I work for that pretty much taught me these things, and Pastor Melvin Suttle. And one thing he always taught me was this: is that whenever anybody ever comes to you and says people are saying, it's usually them and one other, them and their spouse. And all they're wanting to do is this. Do you hear me? So when, and if somebody, matter of fact, I there's a redneck saying that I know. Is that if you're tired of people bringing your trash, then stop being a trash can. Will that land in a second maybe? You got what I'm cooking up right now? And so, or you can be the person when somebody comes and wants to wah, 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 you can be the one that brings healing and peace and put that fire out. Faithful people bring healing, not conflict. Faithful people are trustworthy. Proverbs 11:13 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with such a simple babbler. Faithful people celebrate others. Faithful people are peaceful people. I love this scripture, this Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 13. Like the cold of snow and the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. And what I thought about, you know, growing up in the town I did, there was a lot of us some summer sometimes that we worked in the cotton fields. And farmers would hire us and we'd go out in the cotton fields and we would hoe cotton. We would walk up and down the rows with a hoe, and it was in the, you know, July, August, the sun's beating down. I'm going to tell you, in that moment, there is nothing I would have enjoyed more than just a pile of snow being dumped on me. Anybody ever been, you know, you've been in that hot day, you're working hard, and you're out in the sun. I mean, that's what it's talking about, that refreshing, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, the faithful messenger of those who sent him, he refreshes the soul of his masters. I don't know about you, but I want to be known when I come and approach somebody that I'm not bringing the trash bucket, but I'm bringing something refreshing. And that's a symbol, that's a sign of faithful people. Faithfulness follows Jesus' example. Number two is this: faithfulness removes barriers and opens doors to share Christ. Faithfulness removes barriers and opens doors to share Christ. I'm going to say it a third time. Faithfulness removes barriers and opens doors to share Christ. Our concern should not be for position or power, but when we are faithful, we will gain influence in people's lives. When you're faithful, it gives credibility to your words. When you're faithful, it gives credibility to your actions. When you're faithful, it gives credibility to your faith. I was reminded, as I was thinking about this, of a situation when we were doing Youth Alive in the school assemblies, and we just had a dream to, we were traveling all over, and the ministry was going well, but it was one of our dreams to have to do school assemblies and outreaches in El Paso. And it, I mean, it was just a closed door. No matter where we looked, we could not gain footing. We could not break the ice with any schools or anything like that. And a youth pastor, he was working with us, and you know, he would go even talk to the superintendent. The superintendent told him, she said, "We're not interested. Just leave us alone." And so, but he was faithful. He went to the secretary, who really runs a school, right? And so he goes to the office secretary, and he says, "What can we do?" And they start a conversation. And so what he does, he volunteers his youth group, and they went and cleaned the football stadium every Friday night after every home game. And they did that for 2 years with not so much as a thank you, "We appreciate you," nothing. But they were faithful. And then one day he was in a school, and he was bringing the secretary some Starbucks or donuts or something, and the principal was coming out of a meeting of one of the schools and saw him, and she said, "You, come here." And he hadn't really talked to her in 2 years. And he calls him into her office, and he says, "We just came out of a meeting. We're racking our brain. We don't know what to do, but our students are gripped." And this is a lady who's not very spiritual. She said, "Our students are gripped with a spirit of apathy, and we don't know how to break it. And when I saw you, I knew you had the answer." Seemingly unrelated, he was just faithful. And we went on to do school assemblies in several schools and presented the gospel to thousands of students and saw hundreds saved simply for working the ground of picking up some trash. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Your faithfulness. I know sometimes it's tough. I know sometimes we need maybe that pat on the back and that encouragement. But I want to tell you, do not grow weary in doing well, for in due season you'll reap a harvest. You'll see the breakthrough happen. Be faithful. Be faithful. The third thing is this: faithfulness develops spiritual maturity. Faithfulness develops spiritual maturity. There was a study done some time ago that looked at the condition of the American church. And here's what it came up with, is that the average church attender, the average Christian in America, does not spiritually mature beyond 3 years old. Now think about that for a second. I mean, we all are familiar with toddlers, right? You know, drawing on the walls, screaming, running around, you know. And I mean, for us, we call them the terrific twos, but then the threes came around and we're like, we just didn't want to say it, terrible threes, but it was pretty close. The way they acted sometimes, who knew they'd grew up to be such, look at the front row. Yesterday, Kaylee turned 13. Spiritual maturity is when you grow out of what you get out, when you grow and what you get out of church and what you contribute to church. That means when you gotta get in, you gotta plug in some way, fashion, and form, and to serve. I mean, so there's some rhetorical questions. You can just answer them in your heart right now. Do you give your time and effort to serve a ministry at Odessa First Assembly? Do you wait to hear what needs to be done, or do you take initiative and look for things that you can help with at Odessa First Assembly? Do you try to meet people outside of your normal church attendance circle? Do you volunteer for work days or special events? Do you use your skills and abilities to promote Christ purposes? Do you faithfully give your tithes and give towards missions? Do you pray for your pastor and leaders in your church? Is there anyone that you're helping to grow as a follower of Christ? To grow in this thing and to mature in this thing is to be faithful as we serve. You know, my very first Sunday here at Odessa First Assembly, I made this statement. It was September 8th of 2013, and I said this: our church will be healthy and grow to the point that everyone in this room wants it to. I'm going to say that again. Our church will be healthy and grow to the point that everyone in this room wants it to. This thing does not rest on my shoulders. I need your faithfulness. The Lord needs your faithfulness. And when you serve, you grow. When you serve, you grow. When you serve, you grow. When you're faithful in your giving, you grow. When you're faithful in your serving, you grow. When you're faithful in your devotions, you grow. When you're faithful in difficult times, you grow. When you're faithful in the good times, you grow. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to serve, but to be served, but to serve." Faithfulness is serving. And I just want to interject really quickly, and time's getting away from me, but you know, I was even talking this morning with some of our volunteers, and that we're so grateful for. That, you know, I remember when this thing in me first started. You know how I was started was when I first got saved, I became a bus captain in a bus ministry. Our church had a bus ministry. We bused in about 400 kids every Saturday morning into our church. And so I got to ride in the bus and, you know, play and ring with the kids, help them behave. And then I got promoted to bus driver. Yes. And so I drove my van around Midland and picked up kids. And then they asked me to teach the junior high boys class. I'm going to tell you, matter of fact, my first Sunday when I walked in, there was some boys in there. Some of you are familiar with who these boys are. They were the Foster boys. And they approached and said, "You're the third one we've had, and it's going to be a short time for you too." And I was like, "Oh, yeah?" And I dug my heels in, and we actually had a great class. But not all that was always easy, but I had to be faithful. And God kept opening doors, and it kept opening doors. And what I'm trying to say is this, is that the spiritual principle, read in Matthew chapter 25, is that if you'll be faithful what God has given you now, there will be an appointed time where He makes you faithful over more. Over more. Number four is this: faithfulness puts your God-given abilities to use for His purpose. Faithfulness puts your God-given abilities to use for His purpose. I know you may not think it, but you have talents. I've shared about this many times, but you know, me and Angela, when I was at camp and we were working at West of 50s camp, and I can't remember if it was right before we got married or right after, and there was a man by the name of Tex Fortenberry. Some of you may know who he is, but he was kind of a gruff cowboy guy, spoke Spanish. That's I remember about him. And we're sitting down at a table and we're talking. And he says, "Hey, you're marrying Angela." I was like, "I'm marrying Angela, you know." So we're talking about that. And he says, "Well," he said, "do you speak Spanish?" "She speaks Spanish." I was like, "No, I don't speak Spanish." He's like, "Well, do you sing?" "She sings." "Do you sing?" I was like, "No, I don't sing." He's like, "Do you play a piano or play an instrument?" He's like, I don't play anything." He's like, "Then what do you do?" I said, I preach. That's I know how to preach." He's like, "Well, you're not worth much, are you?" Of course, I hope he was joking. But sometimes we feel that way. I don't measure up to some of these around me. But I'm going to tell you, God has given you gifts and talents and abilities. And if you use them for His service, you'll see an expansion happen. You'll see the tent enlarging and the boundaries growing. You have talents. Maybe it's to run sound, so I didn't have to this morning. We can teach you. Maybe it's pushing a lawnmower. Maybe it's some simple things like that. When I remember my first paid youth pastor position was for $100 a month. I was raking it in, man. And with that $100 a month, I was the janitor, kids pastor, and the youth pastor. I'm going to tell you what, I was faithful. A talent represents our abilities, our time, our resources, our opportunities to serve God. And when we're thinking about this in Matthew 25, and I want to close with this, we see that there was the one given the five, and he doubled that. There was one given the two talents, he was doubled that. And there was the one given the one, right? And he buried it. Let me give you a picture of in the first century. The Roman bank, they had banks. They had a banking system in the first century. The Roman banking system, their savings account, what would be equivalent to a savings account, you earn 6% interest. So I can't imagine. I mean, right, what are we like? I mean, now, I mean, if you're getting 3, you're doing good, right? But he didn't even do that. What did he do? He buried it. He buried it. The church is not about what you can give. It's about what you can invest. If you're a follower of Jesus, when Jesus gave you his blood, did he make a good investment in you? I mean, think about it for a second. If I gave Helena, I gave her $100, and I've heard that she's this financial whiz, and then she takes my money and goes in her backyard and takes $100 and buries that money. And I come back 10 years later thinking, man, even at 2% interest, I'm going to get like 25 cents, on, you know, right? I mean, whatever. I'm not a math whiz. So whatever that number would be. I mean, even if it was just a 2% savings account, and I come back 10 years later, and I'm like, all right, I'm here to get my money and what I've earned. And she's like, well, you get your $100. I mean, would any of us be content with that? I mean, if you went and put your money in Prosperity or whatever bank, Bank of America, whatever, and you put your $100 in there and came back 10 years later and they still had your same amount, would you be content with that? No, you would not. And this scripture tells us something very sobering. Very sobering. Is if we don't use what God has given us for Him. In the kingdom, what's the result? It's taken away from us and we're cast away. And I know we don't want to hear those words, but listen to me. All of you have a gift, all of you have a talent, and it's time to invest it for the kingdom and be faithful. Would you stand with me this morning? To be faithful. Even this morning, as I was kind of talking about Isaiah 58:11, you know what? It's easy being faithful when everything's going well. But I don't know, maybe if it was my own sermon illustration or not. But I'm sure Tony did a good job. But I didn't even have time to get my present. I mean, we had a failure for the projector, and I was up here on an A-frame ladder, and Shayla's guitar wasn't working, and there's other sound issues, and we're trying to resolve all this. I mean, this morning I was just kind of like, you know what? I don't know if I want to do this. But see, I made a decision a long time ago that I'd be faithful no matter what. Amen. See, things don't always go my way. Sometimes the struggle seems more I can handle. But I made a decision that I'd never go back on, that I'd always be faithful. Have I been perfect in that? No, I haven't. And that's why I rely on 2 Timothy 2:13. When we are faithless, when we fall short, what does God do? He remains faithful. And maybe, you know, I didn't intend this message to be this way by any means or stretch of the imagination. I mean, this sermon was planned at the end of last year. But I'm going to tell you something. In this season, more than ever, if we're going to see a shift, a change, growth, revival, the Spirit of God moving, do you know what this local assembly needs? Do you know what this body of Christ needs? It needs your faithfulness. It needs your faithfulness. And I know life is crazy. And I'm not, I mean, it's something so much more than attendance, but I mean, it's us coming together as a body of believers and serving together in faithfulness.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.